Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Philip Sitter. He covers state government for the News Tribune. Welcome, Philip.
Hello.
So Philip and I are going to talk today about the recently ended legislative special session and a little bit of housekeeping first. I would mention we're both wearing masks, so we will do our best to enunciate and speak up. So let's get into this, Philip. So the session just ended Wednesday. Remind us of when this began and why it was called and some of the parameters of what had to happen during the special session.
Well, Governor Parson convened this special session. I think the date was July 15th. He had a press conference with lots of law enforcement, including local law enforcement chiefs. And, you know, that was really kind of his reason for calling this session. He said he wants to support law enforcement and also victims and communities. He had said there's been a significant increase this year in violent crime, especially in the state's biggest cities, St. Louis, Kansas City, something like 30%, I think, in both for homicides.
So he had a pretty specific agenda that he laid out before the lawmakers. So let me recount what you reported here on paper. So lawmakers were to eliminate and prohibit the requirement for St. Louis law enforcement officers to have to live in the city, require courts to determine if a juvenile should be tried as an adult for certain weapons charges, allow certain otherwise inadmissible statements by witnesses to be admissible in court under certain circumstances, create a pretrial witness protection fund, criminalize knowingly encouraging, aiding, or causing a child younger than 17 years old to engage in a weapons offense, and increase the penalty for a person who knowingly sells or delivers a firearm to a child. So it was a pretty specific agenda. As with special sessions, as you've noted, that's really all they could talk about. They couldn't bring new ideas to the table beyond those set points.
Though so, people did try, but
try as such they will. The Constitution will not allow them to, though. So what did pass?
Ultimately, the St. Louis residency bill, which means that first responders in the city no longer have to live within the city, but they can live within an hour's response time. Advocates have said that that's going to help with recruiting and retention. They feel those first responder staffs are understaffed, and I think it will also help with specifically officers' mental health needs, you know, just being able to get away from work, basically. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that passed was the pretrial witness protection fund. Law enforcement agencies can request funds from the Department of Public Safety. We should note that that is not actually funded yet, but that may be the topic of future action, possibly a special session, another one. And that money would, if approved for an agency, would be used to protect witnesses, give them housing, things like that, as well as protect their family members if they're also in danger.
Okay. So how many days did the session actually, it was authorized for 60, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How many did it actually?
Not consecutively, but 12 days for the House and I think 13 days for the Senate. Again, not consecutively. This stretched from July 27th until yesterday, which was September 16th.
Okay. So during the course of that time, though, there was a lot of drama outside the chambers of protests and such. I mean, what were some of the points of contention that obviously they didn't come to pass, but the people were protesting against?
Particularly in the beginning, the juvenile certification bill was a point of contention. First off, we should say, even within special session, these topics have gone through several iterations. This all started as one Senate omnibus bill, and that later became separate House bills, and those House bills were later amended, and some of them passed, some of them didn't. But when this was all part of one Senate bill, the juvenile certification piece was contentious. People thought that children too young were going to be tried as adults, and you know they were worried about Black children in particular being targeted. And so the Senate made some compromises that tried to address those issues. I think the House might have actually later adopted them, but that was before the process got all scrambled.
So session ends yesterday. What's the assessments of the session? Let's start with what the governor thought of how of what came out of that session?
He said he got the two pieces that he really wanted, in the residency and the Witness Protection Fund. I mean, most of his agenda did not get passed, but he said, mm-hmm. you know, he can live with what he did get. He'll take anything he can to help violent crime.
Okay. What, from the Republican leadership standpoint of the legislature, what was their response to the how the session went?
Well, they said they'll continue to work with the governor on violent crime, obviously in regular session now, for next year. And I think they, too, also said that they had passed the two pieces that they wanted.
Okay. So, and from a Democratic standpoint, what was their take of the session?
That it was a waste
of... I bet it's not the same.
No. some key things on the Democrat side, it was a waste of money. It was not the special session we needed. They wanted something focusing on COVID relief efforts or racial justice and police accountability.
So let's back up there a bit then. So what exactly... Obviously, they would have preferred to have a session that was devoted to a completely different topic. You mentioned COVID relief, for instance. But let's say it's in that element of police reform, social justice, things such as that. What were they saying that they wanted to see done? What would have solved that problem that everyone appears to acknowledge there is a problem? They just have different paths to get the solution.
Probably one with a lot of broad support is a ban on chokeholds. Now, law enforcement will tell you chokeholds are not actually taught in academies, but again, it depends on how you look at this, but there are vascular restraints that can be used, which can be taught. They look to the public like chokeholds, even though law enforcement says they're not. So you could possibly ban those, or maybe you could have some kind of punishment for non-allowed chokeholds. There's also the thought of encouraging officers to report misconduct that they see other officers do. There are thoughts about how we fund the police and, you know, where that funding goes. There are thoughts about the Post Commission that says training performs there. So that's a very broad kind of universe of ideas.
So it seems, though, as if there's a wide gap between the two sides. I mean, were there any attempts during the session to bridge that gap? I mean, did you see any evidence that either side would get out of their entrenched areas and start making more of a concerted effort to find a solution they both could live with?
Not particularly this time. I mean, the governor has addressed that issue directly. He just said this is not the time for that discussion, frankly. You know, there's not enough time in special session is what he said. You know, we need to go through the whole lengthier legislative process of regular session with more committee hearings and things like that.
So with an acknowledgement, we're in an election year too. I mean, it's a heightened state of affairs there. So I suppose January new session comes, there might be a bit more willingness to talk, willingness to work together. Is that just a pie in the sky hopes there, Philip?
Again, I mean, story of this year, there's just a lot of unknowns right now. I think the energy of the protests that started over the summer, that's has continued, as we've seen around the Capitol. It certainly will continue, I'm sure. But again, we don't know what the situation with COVID will be come January. We don't even know what the legislative meeting is going to look like, frankly. I mean, I assume they're going to try to start up again in January, but we don't know that. I don't think anyone wants another repeat of spring with gaps in session, but I think that's still on the table.
Sure, sure. So one thing, as I was reading your story this morning, that just jumped out at me, talk of another special session. Again, Philip, you do know that there's an election in November coming up. And were they seriously talking about a special session in October?
That's what Governor Parsons said yesterday. Okay. And it would not, well, again, depends who you talk to, but to him, he talked about a supplemental budget session. Part of that may be funding the Witness Protection Fund. But COVID liability is also another topic that's been floated out there by people who might want another special session. That would be to basically protect nursing homes, schools, other places like that from being sued if there are outbreaks at their facilities.
So let's go a little bit deeper into that. What exactly are you hearing this legislation would do?
Well, I talked to a candidate for governor this morning about that. The thought, at least from that candidate, is that doing this will basically allow the economy to reopen. The thought is these businesses, these institutions are being held back by the fear that if they completely reopen, let normal business resume, then if something happens, they'll be sued and they'll be out of business permanently.
Hmm. And so which sectors, again, is this that we're talking about?
Possibly nursing homes, possibly schools, possibly small businesses. So.
Okay. So any other ideas as to what a special session would be covering?
I think those are, at this point, the most likely ones. Governor Parsons said he would support, in fact, wants a special session on COVID liability, but he wants a more specific plan from the legislature if that's going to happen.
Okay.
So for now, the supplemental budget one seems the most likely.
Okay, with the conclusion of this 100th session of the legislature, the next obvious thing will be coming up. Obviously, we have elections coming up, but then the 1st of December, they'll start filing bills again for the 101st session, which will start up in January, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so stay tuned, listeners, and Philip will be following what sort of legislation is being brought forward with some of these elements that have been put aside for now. We fully expect they're going to be picking them up again in the next legislative session, and we would just encourage you to read the News Tribune, subscribe, and we'll keep you in the loop on what's going on at the Capitol. Philip, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.